Welcome to the Nickel Plate Nordic Podcast. In this podcast, all the voices you hear are computer-generated. We use the latest AI tools to examine the information to bring you easy-to-understand insights of these publications. Visit our website at nickelplatenordic.org for info on our great club and trails and our great lessons for skiers new and seasoned, young and old. Now, let's glide into the conversation.
Welcome back, everyone. Ready for another deep dive? Today we're taking on something pretty unique, Paralympic cross-country sit skiing. But here's the thing, we're not focusing on the slopes themselves. Instead, we're looking at the link between, well, upper body strength and just how well those athletes perform.
And we've got some pretty fascinating research to dig into.
Yeah, we're diving into a study called Upper Limb Isokinetic Muscle Strength Predicts the Performance in Cross-Country Sit Skiing.
A mouthful, right?
It is.
But it's packed with insights. It comes from Chenglin Liu and their team over at the Capital University of Physical Education and Sports in Beijing, China.
Okay, so before we get too deep into the science-y stuff, can you give us the basics? What exactly is cross-country sit skiing? Like, paint us a picture.
Sure. So imagine, like, traditional cross-country skiing, but the athletes are using a specifically designed sit ski. And to move, they use this double poling technique, just like standing skiers. They plant their poles and push off. But here's the catch. They're relying almost entirely on their upper body, both strength and endurance, to propel themselves across the snow.
Got it. So upper body is key here. Now, this study's got a bit of a twist. They used non-disabled college athletes instead of Paralympic athletes.
Yeah, they did. The researchers mentioned that COVID restrictions just made it too difficult to access Paralympic athletes at the time. But they were careful to recruit college students who were already athletes themselves. That way they had a good baseline fitness level going in.
Smart. Okay, so how'd they simulate sit skiing in a lab?
Well, they used what's called a sit skiing ergometer, which is basically this really cool machine that mimics the movements and the resistance of real sit skiing. Pretty neat, huh?
Very cool. So the participants, what did they actually do?
Two main tests. First, a 30-second like all-out burst to see what their peak power output was, and then a 3-minute trial to test their endurance.
Okay. And here's where it gets really interesting. They also measured something called isokinetic muscle strength, right?
You got it. So that refers to how much force a muscle can generate at different speeds of movement.
Uh-huh.
And they measured this strength in both the shoulder and elbow joints.
Okay, so what'd they find? What's the big takeaway?
Well, buckle up, because this is where it gets exciting. They found that shoulder strength, and in particular, the strength of shoulder extension at a very specific speed, 60 degrees per second, was the single biggest predictor of how much power those athletes could generate in the sit ski.
Whoa, hold on. Break that down a little bit. So what does that mean for someone who's, say, dreaming of becoming a top sit skier?
I mean, it's pretty clear, right?
Yeah.
If you want to be powerful on that sit ski, focus on those shoulders. That's where the magic happens.
So how big of a difference are we talking? Like, how much does this shoulder strength really impact their performance?
Oh, it's significant. In that 30-second test, their shoulder strength at that 60 degrees per second speed explained a whopping 34% of the variance in power output. And get this, in the longer 3-minute test, it jumped up to 40%.
That's huge. Okay, so which shoulder muscles are we talking about here?
We're talking the big players. Your trapezius, your deltoids, the pec major, and the serratus anterior. These muscles are all working together to create that force you need to move. What's really cool is that optimal speed they found, that 60 degrees per second, lines up perfectly with how our shoulders naturally move during that poling motion. It's almost like we're built for this.
Wow, that is pretty wild. Okay, so shoulder strength is obviously key. But here's where it gets a little bit weird. The study found that elbow strength, it wasn't actually significantly related to power output at all. But wouldn't you think pushing with your arms would require strong elbows?
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you? But I think what we're seeing here is the importance of technique. Remember, these participants, they were athletes, sure, but they weren't experienced sit skiers. They were probably relying more on just swinging their upper arms to generate power, not really using those elbows efficiently.
So their technique wasn't quite there yet.
Exactly. As sit skiers get more experienced, they learn to really engage their muscles in a more refined way, which includes mastering that elbow extension, especially in the later part of the push.
It's almost like a whip-like motion, right? to add that extra oomph.
Exactly. They get that extra power from that elbow extension.
Yeah.
And the study actually highlighted this by comparing the polling distance of their participants to elite non-disabled skiers.
And what did they find there?
Well, the participants in the study, they were only averaging a distance of, well, it's represented by delta S of 0.8 meters with each push.
Yeah.
But elite skiers, they're hitting delta S of 1.8 to 2.2 meters. That's almost triple the distance. That really shows you how much technique and motor control play into maximizing that power output.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. So what are the big takeaways here? What does all this mean for aspiring Paralympic sit skiers or really any athlete looking to amp up their upper body strength?
Well, I think there are two key things to remember. First, if you're serious about sit skiing, targeted strength training is a must. You want to build that explosive shoulder extension strength, especially at that magic 60 degrees per second speed we talked about.
Yeah. Oh, don't forget the elbows, though.
Absolutely. Don't neglect those elbows.
Yeah.
Work on exercises that build that extension strength. And just as important, really focus on refining your technique, getting that smooth whip-like motion. That's how you unlock that true power potential. This study really shows that it's not just about brute force. It's about training smart and understanding how your body works.
This has been incredibly insightful. Now, before we move on, there's one more thing about this study that's really got me thinking. Remember, this whole study was done with non-disabled athletes. It makes you wonder, would we see the same thing with experienced Paralympic athletes? You know, athletes who spent years adapting and refining their technique on the sit ski.
It's such a good point. And the researchers actually bring this up themselves. Like, it's totally possible that Paralympic athletes have, you know, develop these really unique motor strategies, muscle activation patterns even, maybe even ways of compensating for certain limitations.
So we could be talking about a whole other level of strength and adaptation, right?
Right, exactly. Imagine, right. They might be relying even more on specific muscle groups. Or maybe they've got these super efficient techniques that we haven't even thought of.
It really highlights the need for more research specifically on Paralympic athletes, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like comparing these findings to data from experienced sit skiers would be so valuable. It could totally change how we understand how the body adapts to be amazing at this really challenging sport.
And think about the impact that could have on training programs. Like we could actually tailor exercises to target the exact muscles that matter most.
Exactly. And injury prevention too. Yeah. Understanding the biomechanics specific to Paralympic athletes could help us develop interventions, training regimens that actually reduce the risk of those overuse or strain injuries. It could mean like longer, healthier careers for these amazing athletes.
It feels like we're like barely scratching the surface of what we can learn about this sport and just the incredible things that Paralympic athletes are doing.
It's amazing, right? It's like a testament to human ingenuity and just the body's ability to go beyond what we think are our limitations.
Yeah.
This study really, it shows how powerful sports science can be, not just for improving performance, but also for understanding, you know, what humans are actually capable of.
It's so inspiring to see how research like this can lead to improvements in both, you know, how well athletes perform, but also their well-being, right?
Absolutely. And
yeah.
It shows that even in a sport as specialized as sit skiing, those fundamentals of strength training and biomechanics are still so important. Like whether you're an aspiring Paralympian or just someone who wants to, you know, get those arms in shape, the things we're talking about today, they apply.
Yeah, focus on those key muscle groups. Train at the right speeds and don't forget about technique, right?
You got it. And never underestimate the power of a well-designed training program that's actually based on what the science tells us. It can make all the difference in reaching your full potential.
This deep dive has been really eye-opening. It's given me a whole new appreciation for the world of Paralympic sit skiing and just how dedicated these athletes are.
Me too. It's exciting to think about what future research might uncover.
Speaking of the future, this study, it leaves us with some really interesting questions. Like, it was all done on a sit ski ergometer, right? Which is a stationary machine. So it makes me wonder, how much do those findings really translate to actually being out on the snow, where you've got, you know, hills, turns, all these different snow conditions to deal with?
Yeah, that's a really important point. Lab-based research is great for, you know, controlling all the different factors and really isolating things like muscle strength, but it's never going to be exactly like actually skiing down a mountain.
Right. Right. So how much can we really apply these findings to what athletes experience on an actual course?
I think they give us a really good starting point. This study gives us this framework for understanding the biomechanics that are at work, especially that focus on shoulder extension strength at 60 degrees per second. But to really help athletes get to that next level, we need to take this research out of the lab and onto the slopes.
Yeah, it's like taking it to that next level, right? We've got the basic mechanics down, but now we got to see how it all works in a real setting.
Right. Like imagine like studying athletes on different courses and seeing how they change their technique and how their muscles are working based on the terrain, the snow, even just little shifts in their body position when they're turning.
That would be amazing to see. Like we could uncover all these little secrets to expert performance, see how they've fine-tuned their movements to be as fast and efficient as possible, no matter what the conditions are.
Yeah. And it wouldn't just be about performance either. We could learn so much about preventing injuries too, like maybe certain techniques or types of terrain are riskier than others. By understanding those risks, we can figure out ways to help athletes stay healthy and compete at their best for longer.
It's all about connecting the science to what's actually happening out there, right?
Exactly. Combining what we learn in the lab with what we see on the snow is going to give us a way more complete picture of sit skiing. And that knowledge could lead to better training programs, more effective injury prevention, and ultimately more athletes achieving their dreams.
This deep dive has taken us on quite a ride, hasn't it? We've explored the lab, imagined ourselves out there on the slopes, and even gotten into the nitty-gritty of muscle fibers, all because of this one really cool study.
And along the way, we've gotten this glimpse into the incredible potential of adaptive sports and the amazing discoveries that are still out there waiting to be made.
It's a good reminder that scientific research is always moving forward, always changing what we know, right?
For sure. The world of adaptive sports is constantly pushing boundaries. And with every new study, we get to see just how adaptable and resilient the human body really is.
This has been a truly amazing exploration of Paralympic sit skiing. But before we wrap things up, there's one more point I want to bring up. It adds a whole other layer to this whole discussion. We've been talking a lot about how important shoulder strength is for these sit skiers. But this study, they were looking at these very specific movements on an ergometer, right? But out on the snow, it's a whole other ball game. You've got hills, you've got turns, you've got all kinds of different snow conditions. So how much do all those real-world factors actually change things?
Oh, that's a great question, and it really highlights why research like this is so valuable. Because yeah, a lab setting lets us control everything, really isolate specific factors like muscle strength, but it can't perfectly capture what it's actually like to ski down a mountain.
Right. So is there a chance that what they found, like these findings about shoulder strength, that they might not translate perfectly to real world performance?
I wouldn't say it that way. It's not that the findings aren't useful. It's more that they're a starting point, Like this study gives us this great foundation for understanding the biomechanics, especially that emphasis on shoulder extension strength at that 60 degrees per second sweet spot. But to really help athletes, reach their peak, we gotta bridge that gap between the lab and the mountain.
So what would that look like? Like, how do we take this research to that next level?
Well, I'd love to see studies where they actually analyze athletes skiing on real courses,
Yeah.
Like measure their muscle activation, their power output as they're going over different types of terrain, dealing with different snow conditions. Think of what we could learn about how they adapt their technique to keep up their speed and efficiency.
Yeah, we could really see what separates the good skiers from the truly great ones.
Exactly. Like maybe we discover these subtle ways they adjust their body position when they're turning, or how they use their muscles differently depending on how steep the hill is. It would be like unlocking the secrets of expert performance.
And this wouldn't just be for those top athletes either, right? This could be huge for preventing
Oh,
injuries.
absolutely. By studying skiers out on the snow, we might be able to identify, certain techniques or even certain types of terrain that are riskier than others that make injuries more likely. And with that knowledge, we could develop training programs, strategies that help athletes avoid those risks, keep them healthier and help them have longer careers.
It all comes back to taking what we know from science and actually putting it into practice, right?
Exactly. By combining those controlled insights from the lab with what we observe in the real world on the snow, we can develop a much deeper, much richer understanding of this incredible sport. And that's how we help athletes push their limits safely and really achieve their full potential.
This deep dive has been such a fascinating journey. We've gone from the lab to the slopes, even gotten down to the level of muscle fibers, all thanks to this one really interesting study.
It's amazing, right? It just shows how each new discovery can lead us down all these new paths, all these new questions.
Absolutely. And the world of adaptive sports, it's always evolving, always pushing boundaries. And with each new study, each new piece of research, we get to see just how incredible, how adaptable, how resilient the human body really is.
It's truly inspiring.
Well, this has been a really remarkable exploration of Paralympic sit skiing. And on that note, I think it's time to wrap things up. But before we go, I just want to say, you know, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and never stop being amazed by what humans can achieve.
Yeah. And we'll see you on the next deep dive.